And we are live. Welcome to Rugby League World Cup Radio with me, Winnie, and him, Clarky. I'm from the Tripod. We've had over 8 seasons of free winning NRL tips, and Clarky's given you over 10 years of free rugby league content. We've come to you every week. We appreciate everyone that has tuned in, whether you watch live with us or you watch it later, Facebook, YouTube, or you have a listen on your podcast players. So as always, chime in, let us know your thoughts. We're going to do a mini recap of the 4 quarterfinals that we did watch last weekend, and then we're going to look ahead to the 2 blockbuster semifinals that we've got. We're very much at the pointy end of the competition now, Clarky. Excited for tonight, mate?
Yeah, we're at the pointy end of the competition. We've got through all the beatdowns and the huge scorelines. We're finally at a part now where you look at these 2 games and, you know, previously throughout the matchups, we've sort of been looking at can Australia beat a 50-point line? And stuff like that. We're finally at the point now where I think we're really looking at can, you know, Australia beat New Zealand at just outright rather than looking at some pretty big lines, which, yeah, it's exciting to be at this point.
Yeah, we'll still, you know, consider the line and we'd like to know your guys' thoughts and we'll let you know what the odds are. But that's for the games ahead. Let's look back at the quarterfinals because there were some beauties there. We got some parts right. We got some parts wrong. So we've got to address both. We did win the mixed matchup again. It's won every single week. So we got kind of 3 of the 4 games right, I would say, which allowed us to win that, even though we both liked Tonga in the 4th quarter final, which will be the last one we'll definitely cover because that game delivered as it promised to. And we got it wrong. So even though they only won by 2, very much the deserving winners in that one. But we, for our bet to cash, Samoa just had to be held under 40 points and they only managed half that. They got 20. So if you've been backing our mixed matchups on Top Sport, you've won every single week. But Clarky, you can take it whatever direction you want. I want to ask you your 3 top performances that stood out from the quarterfinals. I'm sure we'll touch on all 4 games across both of us picking out our favourite performances.
Yeah, first one I'll go to is Joseph Suaalii. That run that he had really changed the momentum in a super tight contest. He ended up breaking 10 tackles all up, 231 metres, 74 of those, post-contact metres. An exceptional performance from a teenager that stood up when his side needed him. You go through Samoa's lineup and, you know, you'd probably think a more experienced player such as a Stephen Crichton, who's, you know, been in 3 grand finals in a row now, or someone like that would have been the one standing up. But no, it was their teenager who did so. My other one is just Fiji outright, just Fiji as a whole. I thought New Zealand would win that quite easily. I believe last week I said New Zealand's line of, I think it was negative 22. I said that's a good line.
It was 30 and a half for New Zealand.
Wow. Yeah.
England were the ones that were 22. Yep.
Wow. And see, I thought that was a good bet. I thought New Zealand were going to thump them. Off the back of Jerome Hughes coming back last week, I really thought the Kiwis had found their momentum and were striding into the contest. But boy, were we wrong because Fiji were exceptional in that one. And then my third performer of the week, if I can be biased, I'll go Australia. A very clinical performance. We still don't know. We still haven't played with our absolute best 17 as we had Ben Hunt. And we also had Regan Campbell-Gillard out for that one. But within this contest, Lebanon tried their hardest. They threw their best at Australia at stages. And throughout the whole game, Australia only missed 7 tackles, which is some of the lowest I've ever seen in an NRL or international game. Just 7 missed for the whole 80 minutes.
And you'd expect probably more of the same from the Aussies because, yeah, no second chances and it really heats up. And everyone's got a shot this weekend as I've put your performers of the round up on the screen so you can see it's represented well by the Aussies, some Samoans in there as well, Junior Paulo who escaped suspension. You got Joey Manu at fullback, so Suaalii, who you did mention. I couldn't have denied him a spot at fullback, but Manu did have the decisive try in that Fiji game. So I had top performers. I had to go Samoa. They really stood out to me because we thought Tonga might just have too much for them to handle, but it was the other way around. They were dominant, and it was led by the yardage carries of Suaalii. I had the exact same point. England, and I can see, have you got any England? Oh, you got a couple of, oh, you got Tommy Makinson there on the wing, and you've got Burgess up front as well. So a couple of try scorers. Oh, and George Williams at halfback. So, I mean, England was beating PNG. And shout out to a lot of our PNG followers. England was winning 38-0 after about 28 minutes. So it was quite stunning. And in fact, just to give a little bit of respect to a team that's, you know, bowing out in PNG, a lot of teams would have got obliterated from that point because, you know, the game's over, you know, your tournament's over. PNG only lost the next 50 minutes by a score of 8-6. So I guess you've got to give them credit for fighting until the end. But it was quite breathtaking that England was up 38-0. And we did say that a week ago. I said I thought Fiji, despite being the bigger underdogs, could make a better game of it against New Zealand than what I expected out of PNG against the English. The English have been nearly flawless throughout this competition. We'll talk about how they line up against Samoa. I had Fiji giving New Zealand a mighty scare. Clarkie, a bit of controversy in that game as well, because the turning point, the critical moment, was a strip ball call that awarded a penalty to New Zealand to get their noses in front.
Yeah, at that point of the game, I mean, all throughout, you know, when you have a bet on the footy, you're sort of biased and you're seeing things through the lens that you want. And so I was seeing a lot of things for New Zealand to start the game because I did have a bet on them at that negative 30 or the big line that we spoke about before. But as the game gone on, I just started to think more and more, Fiji are very unlucky here. And I suppose the cherry on top was that strip call. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Joey Manu that got away with it. He dropped the ball cold. He was going one way. Kikau was going the other, making a tackle. Basic momentum shows us that they're going other ways here. So the ball is going to, you know, potentially not just fall flat down. And because the ball didn't just, you know, just fall flat, the crazy thing here was when it was a captain's challenge. So it's not like it was a live decision by the referee. Heat of the game. It just happened. They reviewed it in super slow motion. And in my opinion, they still made the wrong call, which is concerning.
Yeah. And really tough one for Fiji, but yeah, they gave New Zealand an almighty scare in that one, held the lead well into the second half. And we can say New Zealand might've been looking ahead to the big matchup that they have got this weekend that we're going to talk about momentarily, and just doing enough to win, and they only did just do enough. Now, final word on the quarterfinals and a look ahead to the semis from a punting perspective, we're going to give to Tristan at Top Sport.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan from Top Sport here, and we're into the semi-finals of the Rugby League World Cup, and Australia way too good for Lebanon. It's amazing how even with a line as big as what that was, it happened to fall right on the edge of the line. So that was a bit of an ugly result from our perspective. New Zealand almost got surprised by Fiji. That would have been a huge result. Obviously, a lot of multis rolling through New Zealand. And then, surprisingly, the one upset we did have, which was the last game, Tonga against Samoa, there was a strong push for Samoa in that game. So despite them being the upset, we didn't quite get the result out of that that we were hoping for. But it was good to have some quality football in the quarterfinals. Teams like Fiji really show that they belong in this sort of stage. So now we move forward into the semi-finals where we've got a cracking couple of fixtures. New Zealand take on Australia, where the number one team in the world are 12.5-point underdogs against the Aussies. And then Samoa. Surprisingly, they're a massive underdog here in this game at over $3. They were $1.65 in the opening game of the tournament against England. I'm thinking it's a bit of an overreaction by the marketplace. Obviously, England were dominant in that game, and that's caused the market to shift significantly. I feel it's probably gone a little bit too far. It has trimmed up a little bit from opening. But it's a difficult one to gauge because obviously England have been pretty good throughout the course of the tournament. But you felt like it was just a little window of that game where they really dominated. So I do feel it has overreacted, but obviously at home is going to give them an advantage. So should be a good couple of games. Hopefully you're back a winner if you're having a wager. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Tristan, a little worse for wear after we've tipped our special winner on Toppy every single week during the tournament, and we've got another one to come tonight. And I've got a tip or two in each of the games as well, and I'm very keen to hear what you reckon, Clarkie, as well as our audience. Please let us know who you think's going to cover the line and who you think's going to win these games. The first semi-final is Saturday morning, Australian time, 5, 6am, depending on your time zone, and Australia are 12.5-point favourites, which might surprise some people. Did that surprise you, Clarkie?
I think that's probably a fair assessment of where Australia is at. Just looking at last week, if we go across the whole tournament, both sides are undefeated. But my gut feeling is that would have to be due to last week where New Zealand were really pushed, whereas Australia just kind of breezed past their opposition.
And, you know, arguably these are the two best teams in the world. I don't know if it could have been better if, if New Zealand could have played someone like England, let's say if Australia does win this, we'll never know, maybe. I guess we can judge it on who pushes Australia harder. Now, that's getting ahead of ourselves if I do assume Australia is going to win the World Cup. If you think that, it's about $1.45. So they are, you know, pretty strong favourites. Obviously, in this game, 12.5-point favourites, and they will be favourites quite strongly against whoever they would face in the final. But if New Zealand gets the upset here, I will advise that or suggest that New Zealand would also be a favourite over either England or Samoa. So we always knew these two were on the same side of the draw. They were going to meet in the semi. The World Cup winner may very well come from this game. I'd still give either side, top side and the other side of the draw a chance for an upset. But let's try and dissect this one, Clarkey. When you look at the matchup, you're saying you think 12.5 points is a fair line. So then you're fairly confident that the Aussies will get through?
Yeah, I am confident here. The thing is, when I look at that Australian game, I didn't take too much from it. The Australian game versus Lebanon. I didn't take too much from it, but in a positive way where I expected Australia to win. I expected them to win easy, and they did do that. It is tough to get a read on just how good Australia are this World Cup for two reasons. One, they haven't really been tested. And two, we haven't seen their best 17. It's always been chopping and changing, trialing out new players, giving players a taste of a debut. And for that reason, there could also be a question mark over Australia's chemistry coming into this game because their best 17 haven't played together yet, whereas New Zealand's 17 have been more consistent over the tournament. The biggest thing was Jerome Hughes out, but that was purely due to a injury there it was to him. So that's a concern there for Australia potentially. But again, I just can't be critical of Australia in any areas. I can't sit there and pick one or even one thing where they needed to be better. But for New Zealand, I mean, you've only got to go to last week where they did struggle against Fiji in a game where they were massively favoured to win. And there could be a range of reasons for that. I think probably the one that makes most sense is what you offered. They were just probably looking ahead just to this Australia game because for all intensive purposes, a lot of people are viewing this as a final. A lot of people, like you said, view this game as whoever wins this will win next week. And so because this game is so important, maybe New Zealand did have one eye ahead to the future. The stats that jump out for me from their two games. Now, I was going to make a note here about how I was concerned New Zealand made 13 errors. And I thought, just before I do that, I'll be smart. I'll check how many Australia made so someone doesn't pull me up and I don't look like an idiot. And I'm glad I did because Australia had 14, which surprised me because I felt like Australia were much more in control of that game. So I had a bit of a deeper dive, and missed tackles is the one that jumps out, Winnie. 7 missed for Australia to 32 for New Zealand. More than times 4 missed tackles for New Zealand than Australia. New Zealand need to go to levels ahead this week. If they show up and play anything like they did against Fiji, it's over. Australia are going through to the World Cup final. For me, that's as simple as it gets. The same New Zealand side can't rock up. Now, to be critical, can you realistically improve as much as they need to in a 7-day period from how they were against Fiji to beating Australia 7 days later? I don't think they can. But in their defense, last week I was critical saying their goalkeeping can't improve in 7 days, and it did improve. So you can look at that coin whichever way you like. Ultimately, looking at everything I've just tossed up there, and I know it's a lot for everyone listening, I'm going to go Australia 13+. I think they will cover that line. I think they will defeat New Zealand, and I think they will go through to the World Cup final.
So a lot of your points there are talking about how underwhelming New Zealand was against Fiji. And, hey, we watch enough NRL to know you actually can overturn an underwhelming performance in 7 days. 7 days is a long time in footy. So I don't think that that performance rules them out or says that they're not on the level of Australia. Like on a simplistic level, you could say Australia beat Fiji by about 34 and New Zealand beat them by about 4. So that's the difference. But it doesn't work like that, as we've seen throughout this tournament. In fact, Harry has made the comment that the Kiwis are more battle-hardened, and something to be said for getting an opportunity to play close games. The Aussies haven't had to. Another thing is, New Zealand hasn't covered a single line in this tournament. Now, Australia did cover the line 41.5, I think it was, against Lebanon, and they did win the game by about 44, so just getting ahead. So Australia's been more impressive than New Zealand throughout this tournament, but, you know, it's a long tournament. It's a 6-week tournament. You want to progress. You want to play your best footy at the back end of it. New Zealand were extra cautious with players that, such as the ones you mentioned, like Jerome Hughes, where they said he probably could have played earlier in the tournament, but they held him back to be safe. So maybe you get fresher guys. Like it's a balancing act because you might lose the continuity and the reps if you get them in earlier, but you might have fresher bodies. So I think there's a case to be made for New Zealand to play well in this one. We did talk about goal kicking. New Zealand didn't miss a goal until, like, basically at the siren last week, where they'd essentially already iced it because they were up two and then they scored a try. They kicked all the goals they needed to. Funnily enough, you said you can't pick any holes in Australia. Nathan Cleary did miss three goals. And watching him, I was actually saying to myself, it looks different. Like, it looks like a different ball. And then there was a news article that came out that said the international ball is slightly smaller, which is just crazy to me. I think Cleary's such a class player. He adjusts to that. Looking at the matchup, for me, that if New Zealand can win this, it's through the spine. We've talked about this all tournament. Manu, Brown, Hughes, Smith. And I think that spine is every bit on par with the Aussies, but I give the edge to the Aussies in other departments. Outside backs for me, I think Jack Whiten is the right pick, and we know what Latrell can do, and Val Holmes has moved to the wing, and you know what Addo Carr's done this tournament, five tries last week, and, of course, you know, Teddy out the back. So I think the outside backs for Australia gives them an edge. I have to give the forward pack edge to the Aussies. I think we do probably have slightly more depth and slightly more class, but in saying that, it's close, because I look at a Fisher-Harris, Joe Tappané, Isaiah Papali'i, those guys will probably push and probably make the Aussie squad. But I also think there's a significant edge to the Aussies with their bench. That's where I talk about the depth, that they can keep coming at you in waves. So much class. When you got, you know, whatever the final lineup they settle on, when you've got guys like Paddy Carrigan and stuff that can come into the fray that aren't even, you know, in the starting team. And even though goal kicking didn't pan out that way last week, I think it is an edge to the Aussies. In terms of how I think the game will play out, and then I'll let you say the final word on how you think it plays out, Clarkie. I think New Zealand knows they've got to junk it up. They've got to make this an ugly contest, and they've got to push the limits of the refereeing. I think they've got to hold on in the ruck as long as they can. They've got to really squeeze in on the 10 metres. They don't want an open game. I talked about those outside backs. They want an ugly field position game. They want to come up with a moment of brilliance from a Manu, a Brown, a Hughes to be able to get a score here and there to keep it close. But I feel like they've got to keep the Aussies in the teens if there's any chance. And as for the Aussies, I think they'll stay patient and they will ultimately outlast New Zealand. I do have the Aussies getting through, but I'll say 1-12. And my tip that I will share is I would say take New Zealand plus 6.5 points in the first half. So that's half the full game spread. But in the first half, I think could be extra tight. That's $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds. Any final thoughts on how you see that game being played out, Clarkie, before we move to Sunday?
Yeah, I like that as well. I think whilst the spines are really important to this matchup, the other components, the forward packs, they're both phenomenal forward packs. Either one can be better on their day. And I get the feeling that whichever one does win that battle in the middle, there's enough class out wide and there's enough class through the spine for them to capitalize. And so it's not about the forwards winning a few hit-ups throughout the game. It needs to be 80 minutes. It needs to be consistently getting over your opposite number. You know, which is basic footy. But when we're looking at teams that are very, very similarly matched like these two, it just becomes even more important than usual.
Let's move to Sunday. And this is equally enthralling and an even closer matchup predicted by the bookies, because England are only 7.5 point favourites over Samoa. Now, this game takes place in the middle of the night. So Saturday, middle of the night, around midnight, or Sunday, super early morning, if you want to call it that. And Clarkie, I think the best place to start here would maybe to address some of your comments you made about the Samoan coach last week, Matt Parrish. Now, I admit I picked Tonga and I wasn't digging his vibe. You were even a little more damning. So I wonder if you've revised your opinion on Samoa at all.
Ultimately, I do have a note here that says I was wrong. This is the first thing I was going to say, that I was wrong about Samoa last week. What makes me disappointed in that was they actually were one of my dark horses heading into this tournament. But the loss in the first week really turned me off them. And maybe I've read into that a little bit too much, but specifically around Matt Parrish, honestly, I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced. I think that this Samoan side is so good. He's got the back line off the back of the Penrith Panthers going back-to-back. He's got Jerome Luai in there, a back-to-back winning half. I'm still not convinced. I think any half-decent coach could have got Samoa to where they're currently at. My comments last week were just purely because I just thought Tonga were the better side. I thought Tonga had shown more consistency and built stronger into the tournament. But, I mean, going back to the stats for Matt Parrish, he's coached 6 professional games and won 1 of them at Super League level. He's never coached an NRL game. And for Samoa, he still has a 41% win percentage overall. It's not like Samoa has had a bad side over the... When did he take over? Sorry, he took over in 2013. You know, that side's been very strong since 2013. Obviously, there's always going to be games internationally that you lose when you're a developing nation, such as when you come up against Australia, etc. But even in the 2017 World Cup, they only versed Australia once, I believe, and that was when they got eliminated by them. And so I'm still not convinced by him. If they go ahead,
when you talk about them having a strong side, this is the strongest side they've had. And I was sorry to cut you off, but I feel like I don't want to let you say too much more about Parrish because he could win it again. And at some point, you know, if he masterminds them getting to the final, at some point, credit actually does have to go to the coach. Oh, yeah. And you talked about, you know, that first performance was so disappointing and that did turn a lot of people off him and rightfully asked some questions. But again, it's a tournament. It's a slog. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You want to play your best football at this time of the tournament. And we really both got it wrong, but we stood up and took notice of that performance against Tonga. So can I ask you now to kind of look forwards and based on what you've seen now, do you give Samoa a chance of going a step further?
I give them a chance, but I'm still with England in this one. So the biggest thing for me is I haven't seen enough from Samoa to justify a 54-point turnaround, which is what they lost by in England in round one. Very impressive wins against, it was Greece and France they rebounded against,
right.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Impressive, yep. But as I touched on last week, between those two sides, there's actually only one consistent NRL player, and that's Lachlan Ilias. So great rebounds, but we're talking a different level here when we go to England. The biggest thing here for Samoa fans, which has to give them a lot of hope in this game. 6 of the 10 tries were in the last 20 minutes against England, and that was after Anthony Milford had just been sin-binned. We now know in the NRL with the 6-again rule how costly a sin-bin is. On average, at about the halfway mark of last season, it equated to a sin-bin essentially cost you about 12.5 points at some point in the game. And so, but given 6 of their 10 tries from England were in the last 20 minutes there, and now the fact that Samoa have, like you said, improved every single game and are now beating big dogs like Tonga, if you're a Samoan fan and you are going to tip them, there is genuine reasons to suggest that they can win this game. For me, though, I still can't get over a 54-point loss. I've still got to lean with England for that reason. But if you're going for Samoa, I think the reasons I just put forward are more than enough to give you confidence.
Yeah, so I think you're right there that you have to be able to explain what happened in the first game and why you think it'll be different. And we did say England was going to be far better prepared going to that one. And evidently, Samoa was not prepared at all. You talk about they got some Penrith players on that side. Well, these guys won a grand final only like 8 days earlier. So I think, you know, it's fair to say they've probably been partying pretty hard and weren't thinking too much about this England game. And you make the great point that a lot of the tries came right at the end and Samoa let go of the rope. And it wasn't that much of a mismatch for the first hour, although England worked like comprehensively too good, right? But we've had a month of footy since then. And I just really want to talk about what stood out to me watching this Tonga-Samoa clash, because I thought Tonga had every bit the forward pack to match Samoa, but I just couldn't believe how purposeful and powerful these Samoan carries were all game. And in defense, their line speed and physicality, they just won the ruck. They won the middle. They won the trench warfare against Tonga, and they bullied Tonga. And the final score makes you think it's a coin flip. And I know Tonga actually had the ball on Samoa's line, but in actual fact, I felt like Samoa was leading the game by 2 at several points and was just about to break Tonga and had opportunities and just didn't put Tonga away and ultimately did get up 8, and Tonga scored a length of the field try against the run of play that kept them in it. I think Samoa could have actually won the game by more last week. I thought they were physically dominant, and that's saying something over a Tongan side that has looked great through the first, you know, through the group stage of this competition. So I was so impressed. I thought that was, yes, such that performance spoke volumes about Samoa, and I think about them as a completely different team. And if they can do anything like that to England, I'm talking about win the arm wrestle or even playing England level in the yardage contest, it's going to be such a different game. Now, I think I'm going to tip England. I'm going to go by a narrow margin. Tristan mentioned it, like home advantage, it's a real thing. You get used to the conditions, the crowd's behind you. England will be slightly fresher because they won last week by 44 points. They actually played a day earlier, right? But Samoa's battle-hardened, to go back to, I think, Harry's point, that, you know, there is an argument you get benefits from playing tight ones because you've been in those high-pressure situations and you find out what you're made of and your combinations get tested. So I look at it on paper, going to your point about how much credit do we give Parrish. To me, the Samoan team is so stacked in talent, so they should be performing well, and they've actually got more talented players, I believe, than England. And that is why they can win this game. And a guy like Crichton, I don't think he's had a signature performance this World Cup. It could be this game. You know, for them to win, similar to what I said last week, they need these star players to step up. It's got to be Suaalii, Luai, and Crichton. Well, it was Suaalii last week. And to a lesser extent, Luai had a big game too. And then what about, you know, revenge factor for Samoa? Because they got embarrassed by England, I guess everyone's motivated at this point in the tournament, but that's got to count for something. But most importantly, the reason I'm going to tip Samoa to be within the line, and on your screen you see 7.5, which is the line on Top Sport. But if you're betting with several bookies, it's 8.5 on Bet365. I would take the plus 8.5 Bet365. I would take the plus 4.5 in the first half with Samoa as well on Bet365. I think the four games that they've had, including the hard lessons learned against England, is going to help them so much to develop with these talented players. And I think it's going to be a nail biter and it's going to be an absolute beauty. Clarkie, how do you kind of see it playing out?
Well, I think the way it's going to play out is it's going to be very close in the first half. And I think in the first half, we're not going to know who's won the game. When these two sides met the first time, after the first half was done, we sort of already knew. Samoa were in it, but they were behind the pace the whole game. I think in this one, we're going to go into halftime. We're not going to know who's going to win this game. One bet that I really like in this one is all wingers to score. The reason I'm going to offer that is Dom Young is second in the competition right now for tries behind Josh Adokar. And Tommy Makinson scored 5 last week. So there's reason to think that both of those are a good chance to cross. Before the Samoan side, they shift the ball really well and really fast. Milford's always been noted for having, you know, a really nice cutout pass. Jerome Luai plays with Taylor May at club level and often goes down that left-hand side. He's got a combination with Isaac Tungo on the inside there as well, as does Brian To'o with Stephen Crichton.
Lafai's in there now. Tungo's injured. But
okay, my apologies. But
you're still right about the left-side attack. Yep.
And even so with Tim Lafai, he had 2 try assists the first game he came in. And I can't remember what it was last week, but I believe...
He actually had a flick pass to May for a try, but it was called forward. But the opportunity's there. Yeah. Toto did score last week, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a track record there. Now, I haven't looked at what the odds would be for that. More just while you were speaking there, I started to think of that one. And I wonder what the odds would be for something like Samoa plus 12.5, give them a little bit more... a little bit more of a line just in case, but taking all four wingers to score. If that was up around the $10 mark, I'd be tempted to have a little bit of a...
I mean, each of those wingers are going to be around 50-50. So if you're talking about four 50-50s, that's instantly 16-1. So, and then you're adding a handicap, and some of those players will probably pay over $2. So I think you get in the 20s for that. So you can have a little look, or you can always comment in the group. That could be a good value play. There needs to be, depends how many points are in this game. But funny you say that, because the mixed matchup this week is going to lean into some tries and some points in this second game, in this England-Samoa game. Now, comments coming through, Straight Rec 10, I think that's the name. The yardage from both teams will be pretty much the same. It'll come down to the halves, kicking game, and icing opportunities, getting in the 20. Agree with that. And that's where, you know, in the big moments, if it's just a try in it, who is going to be the playmaker that steps up? You know, England has been really sound with their execution. As we said, if I look at the England team, because I haven't talked as much about them, they've been awesome all competition, other than maybe a lapse with 10 minutes to go in the first half against France, where I think they led in back-to-back tries. And they did appear to put the whip away in the second half against PNG. But again, you're looking forward to a bigger fish to fry. But other than that, when England's needed to, they've been exceptional. And so we kind of know that they can execute and take opportunities when presented to them. The question mark is really, can Samoa when they're put under pressure? And and just one other comment about Taylor May, because some people following might be on that tip that I gave pre-tournament, which was May to be the Samoan top try scorer at $15 because he was injured. And you know what? He was meant to come back in week two of the World Cup. He actually didn't end up coming back till week three, but he has got four tries. He didn't score last week, unfortunately. To'o did. So To'o's got four tries. And Tim Lafay has four tries. So at the moment, if it finished like that, you would actually still get paid out for one third of 15. So you'd get like 5-1. But anything could happen in this game. Any of those players could score. So we're looking, if you're on that one at 15-1, you want Talon or Tiny May, as he's been known this tournament, to get on the scoreboard. And then we don't mind if England, if Samoa progresses. You know, if he scores, I'm sort of happy if England wins the game, because then that will be the end of Samoa's tournament and he would be the top prize scorer. But however that plays out, it's one to watch. It's a great value ticket to have in your pocket if you are on that one. Clarkie, I'm going to chuck up our mixed matchup, which is undefeated this tournament, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this one. It's an underdog, rightful underdog. It's $3, and we're just going to simply take, see if people can read that, more points in the second semi-final, England-Samoa, than the Australia-New Zealand game. For me, we talked about how both England and Samoa building their combinations and can put on some tries. But for me, I think this bet can win if New Zealand can keep it tight against Australia. You don't necessarily agree that they can, but $3 odds for one, the second semi to have more points than the first semi, pretty juicy.
Yeah, it's juicy. It really, and England and Samoa, you know, I probably can see that being a higher scoring match. I mean, I do like Australia's 13 plus still, but, you know, that could be at a margin of 24-10.
Yeah, for
whereas
sure.
England and Samoa, we could see like a higher scoring matchup there of maybe even something like, you know, 24-32 or something like that. I can really probably see more points being in that England and Samoa game than the Australia New Zealand game. As you said though, it's on the bravado that New Zealand brings it. They missed 32 tackles last week, but I do think that's something they'll look at and should correct. And probably the biggest thing you've said this show that's really stuck with me is the ability of sides to turn things around in 7 days. We see it so often in the NRL, and I probably overlooked that a little bit until you said as much. And it's just a really great point. I'm trying to think of some examples from this NRL season, but there was some shock.
Oh, I mean, you know, Parramatta would lose a game and then the next week beat the Panthers.
Beat Penrith at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for sure.
It can happen. It's a long time.
That's right. If you want to jump on that one for the second semi-final to be higher scoring, it's not expected to. I think the total's like 42.5 for the Aussie game because Australia's expected to win by a bigger margin, which could build the points up, which is why I say don't necessarily take the bet if you think Australia's going to blitz New Zealand. But if you can foresee a style of game that I've talked about, more trench warfare, ugly, New Zealand keeps it in the balance, each team's in the low 20s or in the teens, and then that gives us a great opportunity with the total around 39.5 in the Samoa England game. And I think Samoa on the back of a bit of yardage and getting some good ball, we know they've got the talented players to put on points. And we also know how deadly England are. So that's my tip. Now, $3, the only difference with this one, it's a max bet of 100, not 200. And that's not Toppy cutting limits on us. That's just when we get odds of $3 or above, they drop the max stake. So you can always kind of win 200 off your bet. So as opposed to if you could have 200 on that, that would be paying you back 600 to win 400. So it's still pretty decent to win $200. As you said, if you've been back in these all tournament, you've done nothing but win every single week. And you can join Top Talk with the promo code TRIPOD, and that's with a Y, if you would like to, if you want to see what all the fuss is about. But that'll do it. That's our opinions. Thank you to everyone who has chipped in with theirs as well. Thank you for joining me, Clarkie. Best of luck to everyone who's, whether you're having a punt or obviously if you're cheering on your country to get through to the big dance. And we hope you have a great weekend as well. Final word from you, Clarkie.
Thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate you guys tuning in. And we'll be back next week to preview a huge Rugby League World Cup final for you all.
That's right. That'll be the last one next week in 7 days' time. So we'll see you then, guys, and take care until then. Cheers.